Well, good evening, everyone. Please stand and grab a hymn book. Let's turn to page 284. 284, just a closer walk with thee. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Amen. Good to see you this evening. Trust you had a good afternoon and a restful afternoon. Ready to be back and worship the Lord together this evening. Celebrate the Lord's Supper together as well. Well, it's just good to be back in God's house tonight. Good to be back with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And let's take a couple minutes to just welcome each other in the Lord this evening. Amen.
All right, let's get back to our seats and turn to page 145. 145. All
ride. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it is true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Let's sing the last. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new, new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
316. 316. Satisfied. How many of y'all know this song? Five people. All right. So we'll learn it together. All right, sing with me.
All my life long I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found Him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings, through His blood am saved.
I first learned this song from the Gaithers, and they sing this completely different. So in our hymn book, it's 3-4 timings. So this is a struggle for me as well. Let's sing the last verse.
Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found Him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings, through His blood I now am saved.
Amen. You may be seated.
All right, gentlemen, if you'll take your place, we'll get ready to receive this evening's offering and go over a few announcements while we do. Got a good crowd here tonight looking out. I think we have almost as many visitors tonight as we did this morning. This is good. Thank y'all. So tonight we'll be partaking in the Lord's Supper. The members of Metropolitan Baptist Church will partake in the Lord's Supper. Church work day, April 22nd, and all hands on deck. We have something for everybody to do, inside, outside, ladies, guys. We got enough to do. So we'll start at 8 o'clock, and then we'll go till work is done, and that's usually about lunch. Everybody gets their bellies full, and they go, oh, I'm done. That's usually when we get the work done. So we got a Sunday school activity for primary and intermediate classes. That's going to be Seamus Sherry Davidson for that on the 23rd. Ladies' spring banquet, it's going to be May 5th. Cost is $10, and there's a sign-up sheet on the back. We got a few missionary letters here to grab and see, and so Very good. So let's pray. Lord, thank you much for everything you've given us today. Lord, thank you for those who's here with us today, and Lord, those who couldn't be with us here today for whatever reason, whether it be illness or travel or Lord, they just being out, Lord. Lord, just be with them, keep them safe, bring them back to us. Lord, right now I'm asking you to be the offering about to receive, be the gift and the giver. Lord, here in just a little bit, and the preacher comes, please. I know it seems to be a habit that we say it, but please, give him power on high. Lord, you hide him behind the cross and give him the liberty to say what you want him to say. Lord, please prepare our hearts to receive it. Lord, if there's anybody here tonight that does not know you're a Savior, let today be the day. Love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Come to celebrate the Lord's Supper, I always try to talk about that a little bit. We don't celebrate it quite as often as they do in some places, but try to keep it as something very special, something very reverent, as much as is possible for somebody as irreverent as I am. But we try to do our best, and we have that privilege this evening to share what we call the Lord's Supper together. As the body of Christ that calls itself the Metropolitan Baptist Church. Yes, we believe and teach here that the Lord's Supper is an ordinance. And along the way, we'll talk about that this evening. But an ordinance to be kept by the local church. And I wanted to take a few minutes. You know, it seems like maybe I explain the... How did Ricky Ricardo used to say, explain the same things? Same every time we do this, but I think it is important that we take note of these fundamental truths concerning the Lord's Supper and what goes with it. And we ask the question, just what is the Lord's Supper all about? And there's several, or a few Bible terms, a few terms that the Bible uses in describing that. And one of my desires this evening is to ensure that what we're doing is biblical. And we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures in a very short time. So if it gets a little difficult to keep up, I'll be reading them anyway. But won't be doing a whole lot of explanation in most of these scriptures, but using them as a foundation indeed for what we will be practicing tonight. Well, in 1 Corinthians, and many of these references do come from Paul's letter to the 1 Corinthians, or the first letter to the Corinthians. And Paul calls what we're doing tonight, the communion of the cup and bread. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16, Paul again writing in that 10th and 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians deals a lot with this subject of the Lord's Supper. And in verse 16 of chapter 10, it says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" And that word communion in these verses has to do with the idea of sharing, the partaking together. So Paul calls it the communion of the cup and the bread. But secondly, he also calls it the Lord's table. The Lord's table. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 21.
It says this, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. In that chapter, Paul was warning against those that were there in that church in Corinth. It was a very pagan city, a wicked city, a lot of idolatry and so forth, and making it clear that there had to be a break with the old life, the old worship, the old religion. And he says, you can't have it both ways. Cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. So Paul also calls it the Lord's table. And thirdly, he also calls it, and maybe this is my favorite, or I'm partial to, he calls it the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20. It says, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And again, we deal with that chapter in more detail at other times, but we see that designated in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians as the Lord's Supper. So we see some Bible terms. It's called the communion of the cup and bread. It's called the Lord's table. It's called the Lord's Supper. And then it's also an ordinance, not a sacrament. It's not a sacrament. It is an ordinance. What's the difference? Well, an ordinance is a memorial. We're looking back in memory of what Christ did for us through his death, his burial, and of course, his resurrection, the sacrifice of his body, his blood on our behalf. There is no saving grace through what we will share this evening. Does not add to our salvation in any way. It's a very special time of remembering what the Lord has done for us. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. There again, Paul. And Paul was dealing with some issues that Corinthian church was having. So he's trying to straighten them out in, on their perspective about these very things. He says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. And as Independent Baptists, we believe that the Bible gives us two ordinances, the ordinance of baptism and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Both of them, memorials of his death, burial, and resurrection on our behalf. But then we also see it's a remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a remembrance of our Savior. And as we will read this scripture later on as we share the table together, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 24 and 25, it says, and now Paul's speaking here of what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he initiated that first Lord's Supper together with his disciples. It says, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Then after the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So it's very clear that this is a memorial. It's a remembering of what Jesus accomplished through us through the sacrifice of his body and blood. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26, it says this, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show. And the idea of that word show means to declare or to proclaim. You're showing, again, the Lord's death till he come. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, we're portraying, we're remembering, we are showing forth what he did in picture form for us. Well, what does the Lord's Supper then represent? And to understand that, we have to look at those elements that we share together. The elements of the Lord's Supper, the unleavened bread represents the body. It represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. in Matthew chapter 26 in verse 17. Now, we're going to see here in two verses from Matthew and then in 1 Corinthians, the before and after, if you will. In Matthew 26, verse 17, so the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to them, "Where wilt thou that we prepare thee for thee to eat the Passover?" Then, in 1 Corinthians 11, 23, Paul writes, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Understanding what happened that night is very important for us. We have the Lord Jesus Christ sharing the last Passover. The last Passover and the first Lord's Supper with his disciples. What was the Passover? Well, let me say this first. The bread symbolizes the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The passages in the Bible describe, and the Gospels describe that cruel punishment that Jesus' body took for our sakes. He took the punishment upon himself that you and I deserved. He took that upon his own body. And yet we understand from the scripture that not a bone of his body was broken. Very important. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 17, it's describing when Jesus would celebrate that last Passover. And again, as we said, initiated the Lord's Supper. The Passover, what was it? The Passover, again, was a remembrance. It was a memorial. The Passover was a remembrance, and if you're mindful, it is that remembrance of what God did for the children of Israel to ultimately and completely deliver them from their bondage in Egypt. And on that Passover, God instructed the children of Israel through Moses that the head of every household was to take an unblemished lamb. And he was to slaughter that lamb, preserving the blood. And what did he do with it? He put it on the lintel and the doorposts of the house. When the death angel passed over through, or excuse me, when he passed through Egypt, where he saw the blood, he passed over that household. Within the household, the family gathered and they roasted that lamb and ate or consumed all of it. Again, what a tremendous picture indeed it was. He was to slaughter that lamb without breaking a bone of its body. Again, we understand that lamb pictured the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And now when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it was that ultimate lamb, God's lamb, that indeed was sacrificed for our sin. And the blood, beloved, has been applied to you and I. And in a very beautiful, powerful sense, when God sees the blood, hallelujah, he passes over you and I. And so that last Passover celebrated with the disciples, and then he took that cup and bread and initiated that Lord's Supper, where you and I now look back and remember Christ's sacrifice for us. The unleavened bread represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the cup represents the blood of our Savior, the blood of Jesus. In Matthew 26 and verse 29, there, Jesus says, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus isn't taking the Lord's Supper. We take the Lord's Supper being mindful of him, remembering what he did for us. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read these a moment ago concerning the cup. It says, after the same manner, in verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, the new covenant. This new covenant was established in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come, until he returns. And then be this tremendous celebration with the Lamb of God. The simple cup of grape juice represents, or it symbolizes, the blood. The Bible makes it clear, Old and New Testament, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Indeed, Jesus was that Lamb, God's Lamb, that sinless, spotless, without blemish Lamb that shed his blood for us. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23, just to reinforce that, it says that almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission or no forgiveness. No forgiveness. As we receive the cup in a few minutes, we're remembering, we're being mindful of the blood that Jesus shed to pay the wages of our sin. What a dramatic thing it is. Well, then thirdly, well, who should take part in the Lord's Supper? Who should take part? Well, at its institution, it was the members of that first church that were present, Jesus and his disciples. And of course, these would represent the redeemed of the Lord, part of that first church. In Matthew 26 and verse 20, it says, now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. Well, Paul writes to those in 1 Corinthians, as we've been reading so much, Paul writes to those who were gathered together as the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, excuse me this evening, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 17, it says this. Paul says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Verse 18. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. In verse 20, once again, it says, when ye come together, therefore, into one place. Now we see this gathering together. And it's very important for us to understand what was going on. I've heard some actually say, see there, it's just whoever gathers in the church. What do you mean? Well, in the church. Well, how many church buildings were there when 1 Corinthians was written? There wasn't any. There wasn't such a thing as a church building. So it's not talking about a building because they didn't have church buildings. In fact, according to early records, the first building that was actually dedicated for the assembly of a body of believers was about 240 AD. And then at that, the Persians destroyed it in about 256 AD. So it only lasted about 16 years. So this is something that was actually having buildings dedicated to worship for churches was a much later thing. What's the point? Paul is not obviously talking about a church building. He's referring to the meeting together of the church. The word itself means what? The word church in our New Testament means assembly. The assembly, the called out people. So when Paul's talking to the folks at Corinth, He's talking about that body of believers when they assembled themselves together. He's very clearly talking to that local body of believers that we know as a church. Well, how is the Lord's Supper to be observed? How often should it be observed? There's all kinds of explanations for this. There's all kinds of practices. There's actually some that would observe the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day. Some that might do it once a month or once a quarter, once or twice a year. Well, what's right? Well, actually, they're all right. They're all right. Should the Lord's Supper be observed every time we meet? Not necessarily, but actually, it wouldn't be wrong. I don't care for that because I believe that we would lose the significance of what's going on here this evening just out of becoming very, begin to take it for granted rather than taking note of its significance. The Bible does not designate how often it should be observed. It only gives direction for how it is observed when we do observe it. I guess that's the right way to say it. What did 1 Corinthians 11 say? As often as. As often as. And it doesn't mean, as one man explained to me, that means you're supposed to do it often. No, that's not what the words mean. It's not what the words mean. What's it say? As often as. And it means when you do or whenever you do celebrate the Lord's Supper. There's no direction or command for when or how often we would do it. Well, one thing for sure, it should be observed solemnly. Solemnly. What are we remembering? We're remembering the death of our Savior. We're remembering the sacrifice of Himself on our behalf. We're remembering His death for us. And so it is something that should be done in a serious way, in a solemn way. It is something that should be given thought and consideration even as we celebrate it together this evening. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 28, Paul, he emphasizes for us how serious this thing is, this matter is. He says, but let a man examine himself, search himself. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. There's a matter of self-examination that takes place as we would come to the Lord's Supper. Caution. Caution should be observed to not take the Lord's table unworthily. Unworthily. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 29, Paul explains, and he says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What's Paul saying? So we need to take this thing seriously and understand what is going on here. That we, as we come to the Lord's table, we're to come to that table in a right heart and in a right spirit, prepared. The Lord's Supper, and this is another message that I like to teach at some times concerning the Lord's Supper. But the Lord's Supper is a vehicle that God gave us to preserve unity within the body of Christ, within the church. That when we would be recognized when we come to this table, that we should not come to this table having an aught with one of our brothers and sisters within the church body. It's a vehicle of preserving unity. Should be observed solemnly. And then, as we just mentioned, it should be observed in church unity. We celebrate this ordinance as the body of Christ. Here, Metropolitan Baptist Church. In the 33rd verse of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, wherefore, or with all of this understood, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And indeed, that's the significance. As we share the ordinances together in a few moments, that's the significance of when we share of the bread, that we don't just pass the plates around and everybody just take it and eats it as they get it. No, that's not what we do. We wait and we do this thing together as the body of Christ. The same with the bread and the cup. It's a significance of our unity of the body of Christ. The Lord's Supper is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful memorial. Indeed, as we come together this evening and in the beginning of this week, all the different religions and so forth have all kinds of designations for this week, this last week that of our Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. But might we just be mindful that indeed those last days of his walk on this earth planet, he was busy. He was busy about the work that his Father had given to him. He was busy preparing, as we would read the different gospel accounts. He was very busy in that last week preparing his disciples for the work that he was going to leave to them. Preparing again that first church that they would carry on with the ministry that he had given to them. And what was that? We talked about that this morning. Occupy till I come. Occupy, be busy for me, for my kingdom, until I return. Until I return, indeed. So we would come at this point to our service tonight. I'm going to ask the deacons and Brother Bruce is going to help us tonight because Brother Tom is out of town. So our deacons and Brother Bruce can come forward. I want to read just a verse or two from the Gospel of Luke. These fans are really blowing my pages this evening. The Gospel of Luke, verse 19 and 20. Again, this is from the Lord's lips. What we'll deal with in as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together will be from 1 Corinthians and the words of the writing of the Apostle Paul. It says in chapter 22 of Luke, speaking of that initiation of what we're doing this evening, says he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you." Gentlemen, would you prepare the elements, please? Being mindful, dear ones, that we celebrate this evening God's gift to us. The gift of His Son, who gave us the gift of His own body and His blood. I'm going to ask Brother Bruce Martin if he had asked the Lord's blessing upon the bread.
Our Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, remembering this bread that we will now pass out, as representing your body that has been broken, and how on that cross, as the enemies of you and the Word of God broke your body through beatings, through the crucifixion, it was done so that we might receive the salvation. May we never forget how you're willing to take your body and give it for us so that we might be saved. May we, as we remember that and partake of this evening, may it bless our souls, and may we be close to you through it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to read from Isaiah chapter 53, beginning in verse 4. Again, this graphic picture of our Savior's sacrifice of his body on our behalf. Notice how many times we see the word our in this passage. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We read in verses 23 and 24 of 1 Corinthians 11. Paul writes, "For I have received of the Lord Jesus that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now take the cup in remembrance of the blood that Jesus shed for our sin. And I want to read from the book of Hebrews, in chapter 9, a few verses there, beginning in verse 11, Hebrews 9. Listen to these tremendous words. "But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Brother C.R. Dominey, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the cup, please?
Father, as we come to you, Lord, we are celebrating your benefit, Lord. I know you spent that old blood on the cross for us, Lord, so we could have everlasting life today with you. And this juice is made in remembrance of you, Lord, if you take it. We thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Reading just once again from the passage we've read from in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. It says, after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Very simply, the Gospel of Matthew says that after they had received the cup, it simply says this in Matthew 26, verse 30. It says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And so, gentlemen, you're excused. Brother John, would you come and lead us in a hymn? As we close the hymn, you're dismissed.
341. We'll sing the first and last verse.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
You're dismissed.